لبيك اللهم لبيك، لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك، إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك، لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. يا ربي لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، ربي يسر ولا تعسر، وتمم بالخير، وبك نستعين يا فتح. آمين ثم آمين يا رب العالمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My dear أهل القرآن، how is everyone doing? Alhamdulillah. I hope and pray that you all are on the highest levels of Iman and Taqwa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of your suyam, qiyam and worships. And may Qadr Allah, you make Laylatul Qadr. Ameen, Sama Ameen. On behalf of Nurul Quran International Institute, the entire team of Journey Through Quran, welcome you in 2020 Journey Through Quran. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a new opportunity every day to learn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kalam. We seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help in understanding and implementation of His commandments in our lives. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us raise the bar of obedience and spirituality in our lives. Ameen, summa ameen. Yesterday in our journey through Quran, we completed Juz 24th. Bismillah. Few more Juz to go and few more days of this blessed month left. Allahu Akbar. And who knows who will not be with us next year, or will I be with my Quran buddies in next Ramadan or not? Who knows? Allahu Akbar. It's really a thought-provoking question, especially in these last 10 nights of Ramadan. What was the theme of the juz yesterday? Bi-adai. Allahu Akbar. We can choose to be one, and it will honor us, inshallah wa ta'ala, and we can ignore it too, but it is our call. And inshallah wa ta'ala, we will choose to be one. But for that, we have to, of course, increase our knowledge, inshallah, beneficial knowledge, inshallah wa ta'ala, and do loads of du'as for that. Allahu Akbar. And in Quran, the standard of it made clear by saying, and who is better in speech than who invites to Allah? Subhanallah. Someone is better than the rest who is calling the other towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deen. So our action point is that we have to strive to achieve this honor inshallah wa ta'ala. But for that we have to make a sincere intention and then seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help inshallah wa ta'ala. Juz 24th connection with the previous juz was that when a person becomes a thinker, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens his heart and he develops the urge to share Quran's message with others. Alhamdulillah. We continued with Surah Zumr, and furthermore we did Surah Al-Ghafir and Surah Al-Fussilat. The topics of the juz was Dua, Istighfar and Tawbah. They were addressed in different ways throughout the juz. Just started with the difference between truthful and a liar. A person needs to acquire four things. Taking care of his amana, he has to be truthful, have to develop the best manners, and have to be the best with their neighbor. Allahu Akbar. Four things. Only four things, sisters. So we have to develop these things. We have to develop the best manners and have to be the best with our neighbors. Muhsineens were highlighted that they do good. They are sincere in everything they do. They take care of the amana. They spend their lives according to sunnah and they exercise khushu in their salah. We have to put ourselves in the scrutiny under these rules. We were told that if we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help in our lives, then we have to stay patient. Hard thing to do, but we have to. if we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help in our lives. We were encouraged to do sunnah du'as before sleeping, because during sleep we experience sughra death, and doing du'as is preparing for the fact that we might meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in kubra death. So meaning we might face death during our sleep. So if we are doing du'as, inshallah wa ta'ala, we are preparing for ourselves for that, inshallah. We were given the glad tidings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah and were consoled that do not despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever you end up doing zulm on yourself, always return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his due right now. Because when the trumpet will be blown, people will fall down. There will be no light except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's nur. Everything in the heart, meaning intentions, efforts, will be out in the open. And every soul will be questioned for whatever it did. There will be no way for anyone to hide anything. So dear ones, it is time to undo whatever wrong we have in our lives, inshallah wa ta'ala. Especially in these last 10 remaining days of this blessed month. We beg for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We beg for the repentance. We beg to change our life for our islah, inshallah wa ta'ala. Warnings of Quran are blessings for us. And if we take them seriously now, then we will be saved from the regrets of tomorrow. And nobody wants to regret, right? Because there will be no return at that time. Next surah was Al-Mumin. In it, we were encouraged to repent and do du'as, seek forgiveness from the one who is the most forgiving. Call upon him before the day arrives when the hearts will be fearful. Do not let your ego become a hindrance in your way of guidance. Do not be fearful to change your old ways, mend your own ways. Without fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even the strongest of all can't prevail and be quail. Like Musa alayhi salam made it through the sea and Fir'aun drowned, even though he was the strongest. Ego makes a person consider religion unimportant. As a sinner can't get hidayah because of his arrogance. Whereas Iman gives a person confidence. Confidence to carry himself throughout his life, inshallah wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us Iman. Amin summa amin. Prerequisites of a da'i was told action. We have to develop those qualities if we want to work in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kun fayakun. And we have to develop an attitude of grateful ones. Seek knowledge to be a vigilant person, as ignorance will not be any help, of any help. Allahu Akbar. It is so scary that how a person just can ignore all these warnings. While we are going through this Quran, don't you think it's just enlightens you? It just, you know, gives you a heads up. Okay, this is what is coming. And if we will be wise, we will take, you know, lesson from it. But now the question is, are we wise? Are we willing to take that chance? Because if we are willing to take that chance, then that means we believe in whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises and whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us with our heart, with our actions, with every fiber of the being, of our beings. We admit it. But if we just ignore it with our heedless behavior, then it means it's just a lip service. We say it is coming, the day of judgment is coming, but we do not do anything about it. In Surah Al-Fusilat, we were told, Quran deserves your time. Pay attention. Action, are we doing that? Are we paying attention to it? Today we have to come towards Allah willingly. And if we will not, then we will be brought in front of him anyway, whether we like it or we don't. Then the punishment of Akhirah will be humiliating. When my own body parts will be humiliating me by testifying against me. It is up to me whether I seek reward from my Lord or punishment. It is my decision right now. If we do not care for rewards and do not work hard now, then we are free to do whatever our hearts desire. We can keep on living life without any limitations and boundaries. But if we are serious for rewards, then my dear sisters, we have an uphill battle to tackle. We have to take Quran seriously. A doubt-free divine book only sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to do righteous deeds as it will only benefit us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need our deeds. No matter how righteous they are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want them. We have to develop a character of being thankful, being humble, being obedient. We have to develop sunnah in our lives. And we have to be a da'i of good and a forbidder of bad. We have to display our gratitude, the love of our Lord and the yaqeen to be guided. Then we will, inshallah wa ta'ala, if we have yaqeen to be guided, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide. And we seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. We'll do dua and inshallah wa ta'ala. For, you know what, when we are given this opportunity to learn Quran, then inshallah wa ta'ala, we will be guided. We will be guided when we are sitting here. We are taking benefit of this opportunity, inshallah wa ta'ala. And we have every faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will be guided. And we again pray for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please guide us to the right path. We do not want to be astray. We want to be the obedient servant of you, Ya Allah. Please guide us. And for that, inshallah wa ta'ala, we will join Sister Faiza for yet another Iman boosting session of Journey Through Quran of Juz 25th, Biznillah. A reminder to myself first, we have to stay focused, committed, and we have to do loads of du'as for steadfastness on this journey, Biznillah, even after Ramadan. Amin summa amin. Jazakumullah khairan kaseera bahasin jada. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillah. Now, today we are going to do Juz 25th. Can you imagine if you divide the Quran into five juz, like a table of a five, then we have already reached until 25th juz, and the last portion of Quran is left only. When you had the Mus'haf in your hand, when you started the first juz, it appeared to be so thick and so big. I don't know how it's going to take and how hard it's going to be. But realize it. Once you get on the boat of learning, time passes by. And you have your Mus'haf in your hand with the majority of the part of the Mus'haf you have already done. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen for that. And now you only have five juz left. And from that, we're going to do juz 25th today. And towards the end, as you've been noticing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as if He's preparing us to really end this world. And this is the main theme of the last 10 juz. And let's make the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for us to make the most out of today's juz. Today's theme is really beautiful. We're going to do that, talk about that. But first, listen to the recitation of today's ayah, and then we'll continue.
إليه يرد علم الساعة وما تخرج من ثمرات من أكمامها وما تحمل من أنثى ولا تضع إلا بعلمه ويوم يناديهم أين شركائي قالوا آذناك ما منا من شهيد وضل عنهم ما كانوا يدعون من قبل وظنوا ما لهم من محيص
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعده فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah. Before we go to Juz 25 today, just wanted to bring few points from Juz 24, and that is the majority of the Juz was filled with the maghfirah. So this is one of the things that we will be doing, inshallah. And also we learn about determination. Determination is something that is needed to be the eye of the deen, because it is very easy to start the task with enthusiasm. It is not easy to complete the task. Many projects you have experienced, probably you have seen it in your daily life too, small projects that you may have started in summertime. For example, you know, maybe you started doing knitting or something, and halfway through you said, you know what, I'm bored. Let me just skip and move on. And this is very common when it comes to human nature. We see this all the time. You start working on this project and halfway down, you're done with it and you're bored and you want to change. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something very important we learned in this Juz 24, and that was determination. There's a hadith of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, take up good deeds only as much as you are able, for the best deeds are those done regularly, even if they are few. So when you make decision, this is what you're going to do, big huge plans, start with a baby step so you can continue taking it. When we set too long of a goal, too big of a goal for ourselves, we end up giving it up. So this is what the hadith in Ibn Majah 4240. So what do we learn from this? We do not have to be seasonal Muslims. Today, Muslims are Ramadani Muslims. What it means is when it comes to Ramadan, mashallah, they're very good, they're active, they're doing this and they're doing that, and they're racing towards a good deed. But the minute Ramadan ends, they think as if their iman ended. They think as if their life as a Muslim ended. So you and I, being a student of knowledge, we need to realize it. You know why? Because the life of a believer is not very different from the life of a person who lives outside of Ramadan. Meaning, a true believer lives almost similar life within the Ramadan and outside of the Ramadan. What it means is, if some things are said not to do in month of Ramadan, he continues doing that. If something that told that you're supposed to be doing, using your time, better way, and he continues doing that. So let's make intention and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that make it possible for us that once month of Ramadan ends, I stay Muslim in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Sahaba, they were not Ramadani Muslims only. They were Muslims 24/7, 365 days a year throughout their lifespan. And that's what the team that actually made Islam flourish and survive. And this is why we have Islam in our hands. So what do we learn here? Stabilize your life. You know how? By driving it in the same pace. For example, you know, if there is a driver who's driving the car and constantly he's braking and then he's speeding up, then he's braking and then he slows down and then he switches the lane and then he brakes up, brake again and then he speeds up again. You're going to be very uncomfortable driving around him. You may be thinking this guy seems to be like a drunk or something. He is not happy. He does not have any control in his car driving. So this is what happens. As a believer, you and I really need to determine what is it that we want and which pace do I want to go. By this, I don't mean that you should take it slowly in these last 10 days of Ramadan. Of course, these last 10 days are special. For that, you have to keep up a high pace. But what I mean is that in order to become a da'i, moving forward, we need to check our personalities. What kind of motivation do I have and what do I want from my life. Like, for example, if you have a personality which is very iffy personality, what I mean by that is not so reliable personality, moody personality, emotional personality, or the personality who's not easy to work with, or the personality who's easily turned off by people, this personality is not gonna help you in your goal. In other words, no cracking personalities. You know why? Because if you have a personality that is not liked by people, do you think you can do your job? You know why Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to spread Islam? You know, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Quran that he was khuluqun azim, meaning he had the best manners and best characters. So, in other words, When a cloth is dirty, you cannot clean the dirty cloth with dirty water. It's going to stay dirty. So when the world is in need of Muslims to come and solve the problems, Muslims have to see what character do they have. Meaning, if they have the bad manners and bad characters when they're giving da'wah, do you think it's going to have any effect? Another point you can write as a gem for yourself is that when people speak from their heart, it touches the heart of the people. When people speak from their tongue, it only goes to the level of the tongue and speaking level to other person. In other words, the effort that you and I do, if we don't really mean it, if we don't really want to work on it, it's not going to have any impact into it. Now, with that, let's go for today's theme. Today's theme is about what? It's consult. You know why? Because work for deen is an organized fashion. If you want to work for deen and become a da'i of Islam, then you have to consult people, include people when you make decisions. وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَ بَيْنَهُمْ And whose affair is determined by consultation among themselves. Well, this ayah will come in Surah Shura today. And you know what? Consultation is such an important part of Islam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put a whole chapter in the name of Shura. Today, some people say they like to work solo. They cannot work together. You know why? Because the personalities don't match. Well, you can go ahead and work solo, no problem. But the problem only will be when you want to do something in a bigger level, you won't be able to achieve it. People who try to work individual level, they don't go too far. They can only do so much. In order to move up the ladder, we have to work together as a team. And today we will also learn in ayah, when people divide themselves, it's not going to work. And we will learn the solution there. But here, I want you and I to understand the importance of consultation in our life. Now, why do you think it is important? Because consultation is something that actually brings people together and it opens up the heart for others to think, and you basically include them in all inclusive environment. The effects of the consultation is people are willing to work with you and you can achieve a lot more which you cannot do. Today we see the fabric of Islam is broken. It has rips on it. It has different portions, different patchwork type thing, and they're all working differently. It is okay to be different, but it is not okay to divide because of the differences. What I mean is, think of a quilt. You know, if a quilt patches are, you know, made by different people in a different time and from a different colors, but all those patches of the quilt, when they put it together, it gives a beautiful, colorful quilt. Right? So this is how you and I should be. We may be different with each other. We may have differences, but we shouldn't be dividing because of those differences. And this consultation can be done on a personal level when you are doing consultation, something for very small. Like, for example, between husband and wife, always consult each other, even if it's something very insignificant in your house. For example, like changing the color of the wall or buying the new furniture. Include family, your kids. Maybe they are small, but you know what? It's going to make them feel part of the family. I remember one person shared the story. She said she bought a vase for her living room and she put it in certain table where she liked it and she bought it for that table. Her daughter, she was only 9 years old at the time. She came and she said, Mom, I don't like it there. Can we put it here? First, the mother said, you know what? Who is she? She didn't, of course, didn't think like that, but she said, you know what? It's my house. I want to decorate it my way. I want to put this vase there. But soon enough, she realized it. You know what? This house belongs to her too. So she said, okay, what do you think? And she asked, and she gave this mashwara consultation, and then that thing made the girl very happy. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to do consultation with his family. If you remember the first revelation when he came home and he asked Khadija, and Khadija radiallahu anha did consultation with her cousin Waraqa bin Nawfil. And we learned that Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did consultation when there was a battle of Uhud going on. Even though he didn't agree with the consultation, but he still went ahead because the decision was made. And battle of Trench, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did consultation, and then they went with the mashwara of one of the person who was not even Arab. He was Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu. So what do we learn here? Consultation is where the happiness lies. You know why? Because now you're not alone. By consulting other people, what you are basically doing is strengthening yourself. Because now the other person whom you're consulting with, they feel part of the project, they feel part of the problem, and they're happy to help you out. So where should we start? We should start with ourselves. Let's include our husbands, our wives, and our family, or even kids, even if they are younger. Let them ask you, you know, we're thinking of buying a sofa. So what color do you think is going to look good? Start with something very simple. Develop this habit, the all-inclusive personality. And this is the personality that is needed, that will be determined, and it's going to be a da'i of the, it's going to help you to be a good da'i of Islam. So if you go to the next slide, what do we see? We see the dua for the da'i, for the consultation, and for istad is not related directly, but it is something that gives you what you need to be asking for. And what is the dua? Dua is Allahumma inni as'aluka khayra ma aati wa khayra ma af'al wa khayra ma amal wa khayra ma batan وَخَيْرَ مَا ظَهَرْ وَالدَّرَجَاتِ الْعُلَى مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ الْآمِينَ. Oh Allah, indeed, I ask you for the onset of goodness and its completion in goodnesses, its foremost and its last, its apparent and its hidden. I ask you for the highest levels of paradise. This dua was made by Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And you know, if we consult people and then we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make whatever effort you are making, put barakah in it. And this is how you become successful in this world and in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you go to the next slide, you see that the connection between Juz 24 and Juz 25. What is the connection? If you want to be a da'i of deen, then apply all-inclusive policy. Consult with each other. Make them part of your decision-making. And also, work as a team. Take others along. And you know how you're going to make others go along with you? When you have a personality that is very loving, caring, and when they feel that you really want them, they feel included. They feel that you are giving importance to them. And also, this is important when you are working for somebody else, meaning when you're working, you joined, there was an organization going on, and when you try to become a part of it, you have to understand that in order to become a da'i, and you have to do, consultation comes later, but first you have to show and prove that you are worthy of. You know why? Because in Islam, the Islamic State is, do you know how the Islamic State is formed? Islamic State is formed when a person who is in charge to make decision, he should be surrounded by good, knowledgeable people. And this is how consultation can help. When people actually do consultation with people who don't know anything for that particular subject that you're consulting with, they might not give you the good advice. And you know, when we see the democracy system, everybody gets to vote, not really knowing that if the voter is eligible or qualified to make the decision, right? But in Islam, every decision is made by the people surrounding by the person who is about to make the decision. So bottom line is, consultation is very important. It keeps families together. It keeps communities together. It keeps the extended families together. And you know what? I give you an everyday example for consultation. For example, you are a daughter-in-law in a home, joint family system. Your mother-in-law is sitting there, and you are planning to go and shopping, grocery shopping at 10 o'clock, for example, right? Now, your mother-in-law is sitting there. Now you have two choices. You can either get up and leave, right? And you can just tell her, well, I am leaving, I'm going. Or another way is, before leaving, you go to her, you say, so, mother, I am thinking of going to grocery store. Is there anything you need or do you think I should go? Just ask her. She's not going to say no. And if you keep her included in your decision, she's going to feel good. And this is what we learned. You know, when we were learning about the parents, you have to be Very nice. They don't need your attitude. They don't need your money. They only need some honor. If you give them honor by consulting with them, so they don't feel waste part of the household. And the more you consult them, the more you consult others, they will be more happy. For example, another example, if there's an event or wedding or something going on in your family, try to include other people around you. Make them feel important. This way, you will earn their love too. Alhamdulillah. Let's go to the next slide. And then in that we see importance of consultation. Ibn Muflih reported, Al-Hasan al-Basri, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him, said, indeed, Allah Almighty did not command His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to consult his companions because he needed their opinion. Notice here, even if you don't need the opinions, you still should ask them. Rather, he intended for them to recognize the blessings in consultation. Meaning, when people consult with each other, it brings blessing and barakah in whatever you're consulting with. And we learn in Quran, chapter number 3, ayah number 159, consult them, that is Muslims, in the matter. And when you have decided, then rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, Allah loves those who rely upon Him. In this ayah, we learn that yes, consult. And once the decision is made, for example, if there are 10 people in the room and they're giving different mashwara, different point of view, then as a leader, you get to decide which one you want. And once you make up the mind, don't back off. This is also one of the quality of a good person, good leader, good da'i, that made the, once the decision is made, you move on with that. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, consulting the companions make them feel important and respected. This is in turn reciprocate good feelings towards him and ensures a healthy and respectful relationship. This is in Tafsir Ibn al-Kabir. So what do we learn all this? We are learning importance of consultation. Let's make intention right now that inshallah from now on I am going to include my family members in my mashwara and do everything with a concise way and proper manner, inshallah. In the next slide, let's go and we learn about Juz 25 main points. In Juz 25, there are many surahs. We will continue Surah Al-Fussilat, and then Surah Shura will come, and then Surah Zukhruf, and Dukhan, and Jathiyah. All these surahs, notice that as we're going further down, the size of the surahs are getting smaller. You know why? Because most of the surahs in the last 10 juz is basically the surahs that were revealed in Makkah. And they were very short surahs because at that time, there was no establishment of the Muslim state. And at that time, only the mind preparing was going on, where they were being told to believe in Akhirah and to believe in oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to believe in revelation. Today, we feel that this is the sequence that is going on. Today, people are not even living in the Islamic state and the way Islamic state is supposed to be. So this is why we learn in these surah about the importance of the shura and importance of moving forward. And you know what? We learn in this many other topics. Besides those, we will learn these important topics, and which are importance of consultation and effects of letting go. Meaning, when you forgive others, what impact does it make on you? And how differences can be solved? And is wearing jewelry a curse or a delight for a woman? And brick homes or gold and silver, which one do we want? And long-lasting relationship, which one is friendship that is long-lasting? We will learn that today. And the Surah Dukhan is about Night of Power, which is already at the month of Ramadan. We are already Night of Power, so we will learn the importance of that. And then kneel down when this situation comes and what are we supposed to do? Moving forward, let's go to the ayah number 47. From this paragraph, ayah number 47 to 54, we will learn about pondering the facts of the scientific facts in Quran. Quran was revealed more than 1400 years ago, and science is still discovering stuff which Quran has revealed so many years ago. This proves that this is a book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This also proves that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not made up this book because he was a human and he had no future knowledge. Now, ayah number 47. إِلَيْهِ يُرَدُّ إِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ To him alone is attribute knowledge of hour, and fruits emerge not from their covering, nor does a female conceive or give birth except with his knowledge. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is so complete, nothing happens without the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the day he will call to them, "Where are my partners?" They will say, "We announce to you that there is no longer among us any witness to that." And lost from them will be those they were invoking before, and they will be certain that they have no place of escape. Man is not weary of supplication for good things, but if evil touches him, he is hopeless and despairing. In this, in the light of ayah number 49, we can all see where do we stand. Think of something in your past life which you were eagerly wanting, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you, what happened? People make dua so much so, "Oh Allah, get my son married, get my daughter married, get my child graduate." And when actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make all these things happen, on the very same day, they do all kinds of stuff in the name of happiness, in the name of celebration. And they forget that same Allah who gave you this happiness, you are making him upset by doing things that are not Islamic, by doing the things that are not even right. So we need to understand, where do I stand? Write this question down for yourself. When it comes to decision making, when I made the dua, when the thing was completed, when the dua was accepted, when the problem was gone, what was my attitude? Ayah number 50, and if we let him taste mercy from us after an adversity which has touched him, he will surely say, "This is due to me. And I do not think the hour will occur. And even if I should be returned to my Lord, indeed, for me, there will be with him the best." Meaning, when people are blessed in this dunya, they just assume that they will be blessed in the akhirah too. But we will surely inform those who disbelieved about what they did, and we will surely make them taste a massive punishment. Arabin ghaleez. Notice the word here. Every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about punishment, it's different kinds of punishment. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Arabun Aleem. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Arabun Muheen. Sometimes Arabun Azeem. And here Arabin ghaleez. Why? You know why? Because whatever the sin and the crime is, what is the enormity of that sin, based on that, punishment is also the similar. In this dunya, some people also, like court system is the same, right? For example, if you have commit a crime of certain level, you get a certain punishment. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge how huge and enormous the effects of the crime that you committed, and the bigger the punishment will be. And we bestow favor upon man, he turns away and distances himself, but an evil touches him, then he is full of extensive supplication. People, when they're going through some hardship, they are the one who stand up all night long, doing ibadah, opening the Quran, reciting after that. Have you ever heard this sentence? Kids come and say, "Auntie or uncle, make dua for me, I have tests." That's the only time you need to make dua? What about during the good time? So the lesson for us. When you are in good state of health and mind, when you have blessings, whatever blessing you have, that's the time we need to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know why? Because when you are grateful in the time of happiness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps you out in the time of distress. And say, have you considered if that is Quran is from Allah and you disbelieve in it, who would be more straight than one who is in extreme dissension? We will show them our signs in the horizon and within themselves until it becomes clear to them. That is the truth. But it is not sufficient concerning your Lord that he is over all things a witness. Unquestionably, they are in doubt about the meeting with their Lord. Unquestionably, he is of all things encompassing. You know, ayah number 54. Here we can do some self-analysis here that yes, I've been learning about the Day of Judgment, but is it really truly getting to my heart, or is it still on the information level? Let's make the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this information about the Day of Judgment as a, not just an information, but yaqeen level, the level where I really truly feel it is true. What did we learn in this paragraph? Attribute success to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to yourself. Do not use deen for professional gains only. Three kinds of signs we see in the universe, and self and Quranic. So if you ponder on universe, you will get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you just ponder upon yourself, you'll get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just imagine, just one thing. For example, just take example of kidney. How many times you drink water during the day? I mean, it's during iftar time, when you're thirsty, when you drink that beautiful glass of drink, very sweet, very tasty and fragrant, and you enjoy it. But do you know, just you're enjoying that glass, your kidneys are working for you? Your kidneys are your slaves. They're working for you. You know, who's making them work for you? Because if they don't work, you cannot go to bathroom. If you cannot go to bathroom, do you think you can drink next time? We take everything as a something that is given to us, not realizing it, that every single thing our body has, it is a gift. Imagine if the digestive system that you have, if it has a turn off and on button, just like the blender and the food processor you have. Because this is what the job of the stomach is, right? When you eat something, it has to blend it, digest it, and put it into grinder and grind it so that it becomes a part of your body, right? So what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not need this automatic process automation? What if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put this button in your mind that you have to turn it on, and then you can say, oh, I went to sleep. I forgot. My food is still sitting in my stomach. Just like when you forget to grind something before you start cooking the food, and you say, you know what? I forgot to grind my rice. I forgot to grind my lentils, and I'm not going to be able to make soup now. Imagine that. All these things make you remember and love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. And then, what else we learn here? Qiyamah is inevitable, and the mukhlas are the one. The qualities of those are, they don't despair, they consider hardship as blessings, and they have akhirah as focus. If you can write down these three things, and then we can all really try to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us all these three things. And wealth becomes fitna if not used properly. What it means is that when we're given some blessings, whether it's in the form of health or wealth, if we don't use them properly, then they become fitna for us. For example, people get too much into maintaining their health, and they talk about their health only, and their focus of life is health. Let me just eat this today and I'm going to be in better shape. Let me just try that juice and that vitamin. And they spend so much time worshipping their physical body. They need to have this food and that nutrition, and then go to that store and buy that stuff. So what happens? The focus is where? Providing and really supporting your body. Then what happened to the akhirah? It goes in a behind burner and we don't think about it. So it is important that we use our blessings the way they're meant to be used. And you know what? As a human, we cannot do that. We need Allah's help with that. Also, we learn here that remember Allah in good times. Let's go to the next paragraph. And that is Surah Shura. Surah Shura, as you can see, the name Shura means consultation. And this Surah talks about the consultation. The ayah will come and we'll learn about that from ayah number 1 to 9. The question here is that, where will I be? Let's listen to the recitation of Surah Shura, first couple of ayahs, and then we'll continue.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم حميم عين قاف كذلك يوحي إليك وإلى الذين من قبلك الله العزيز الحكيم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وهو العلي العظيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سورة شورى. حاميم عين سين قاف. كذلك يحيي إليك وإلى الذين من قبلك الله العزيز الحكيم. That he has he revealed to you, O Prophet, that to those before you, Allah the Exalted and Might the Wise, to Him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth, and He is the Most High, the Most Great. The heavens almost break from above them, and angels exalt Allah with praise of their Lord and ask forgiveness for those on earth. Unquestionably, it is Allah who is forgiving, who is the forgiving, the merciful. And those who take as allies other than Him, Allah is yet guardian over them, and you, O Prophet, are not over them a manager. And thus we have revealed to you an Arabic Quran that you may warn the mothers of the city, that is Makkah, and those around it, and warn of the day of assembly, and about which there is no doubt, a party will be in paradise and party will be in blaze. This ayah number 7, we need to think about it. Allah SWT is saying there will be a group of people who will be going towards Jannah, and there will be a group of people who will be going towards fire. We need to ask this question, which group I want to belong to? Which group am I working towards it? Do you know why it is important to ask this question? Because our iman is displayed in our actions. So if we want to see where do we stand, we need to see what our actions are and what is our priorities are in life. That will give you pretty good idea where we are heading. And if Allah willed, He could have made them of one religion. Meaning, it was not for hard for Allah SWT to let everybody by force tell them, hey, be Muslim and you're done with it. No, because this beats the purpose of making the dunya. Before that, angels were already there. Allah SWT didn't need this dunya, right? So this is why Allah SWT didn't do so. But He admits whom He wills into His mercy. Whom He will admit into mercy? The one who comes back to Him. And the wrongdoers have not any protector or helper, or have they taken protectors or allies besides Him? But Allah, He is the protector, and He gives life to the dead, and He is over all things competent. What did we learn in this paragraph? Make Allah your wali, because when Allah becomes on your side, everything is perfect. We've been learning about friendship a lot in this Quran. Allah SWT talks about many places that be careful who do you befriend with. You know who is the best friend? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah is on our side, then we are so powerful. Imagine if you have to pick up the phone and ask your mother or family or brothers or a husband to advise, ask for advice. Why don't we have Allah on our side and we pick up a salah rug and ask Allah for the advice? Right? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advice because He is our wali. Let's ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. Consult Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your matters. Consultation is very important. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, should I go out in this or not? Should I accept that invitation or not? Should I send my child to this university or that? Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala everything, because Allah becomes your wali, then you're successful. And one group will be in Jannah, one will be in Jahannam. So which one do I want to be? And seek mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Contemplate on ayahs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stay away from shirk, because shirk is unforgivable. And inzar is the style of the Quran. Meaning, warning. Warn ourselves, warn others. What are we doing? Where are we busy? What are we doing in this world? Ayah number 10 to 19, we learn about divisions and its solutions. What is it? وَمَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَحُكْمُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. And in anything over which you disagree, notice here, I'm going to read it again. And in anything over which you disagree, what should you do? It's ruling فَحُكْمُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Meaning, its ruling is to be referred to Allah. What does this mean? This means that whenever you have to make any decision, when there is any dispute among you, your personal level, your family level, your community level, your national level, your international level, this ayah teaches us the solution, how to run a Muslim state. Today, if Quran is there in Muslim countries, only then those Muslim countries will prosper. Today we see that this is not the case. So what do we learn in this? Let's begin with personal life. When we have any disagreements within our husband and, like for example, a husband and wife may disagree on some decision making. right? So what do? You open the Quran and seek your answer from there. You open up a sunnah and you learn the hadith and get your answer from there. It's rulings to be referred to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, this is Allah, my Lord. Upon him I relied and to him I turned back. When people tell you to do something otherwise, you say, no, I learned in Quran. My Allah is telling me to do this way, I'm going to do that. When it comes to national or international level, you open this book. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala touches all the subjects in Quran. There's nothing that is left. How to make the establish Islamic State, how to perform Salah, and something very small, like how to pray, and everything is done in Quran. So, He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He has made for you for yourself, from yourself maids and among the cattle maids. He multiplies you thereby. There is nothing like unto him, and he is the hearing and the seeing. To him belong the keys of the heavens and the earth. He extends provision for whom he wills and restricts it indeed. He is of all things knowing. He has ordained for you of religion what he enjoined upon you and that which we have revealed to you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what we enjoined upon Ibrahim and Musa and Isa to establish the religion and not to be divided therein. Highlight this part. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the purpose of this religion to give you a complete package of Islam is not just to get you so you can worship, of course, that's the main reason, but to establish. Establish what? Establish the religion and not divide it therein. Where do we see this today? Even within the Muslim Ummah, we don't see the establishment of deen. Do we see that? Everybody's working for their own goodness. Everybody's working on an individual solo level. Or maybe if they're working for some organization, some platform, they're only promoting that organization's name, that platform's name. And this is the biggest problem we have. So Allah chooses for himself whom he wills and guides to himself whoever turns back to him. What do we need to do then? In order to have the mindset of developing something strong and big. Number one, stay united. Differences are okay. You can different because there is no two people can have the same idea. For example, if you are all sitting in that one room and somebody's feeling cold, somebody's feeling hot, somebody's saying to turn off the AC, somebody's saying turn it on. So there's always will be different. The color of the screen, I don't like this blue background. Somebody's saying, no, this light should be gray color. This is the orange color is too bright. Somebody said, no, this is beige color is too dull. I want something bright. So differences are part of life. This is what makes the world beautiful. Because if there is no differences, it's going to be very monotonous. So what's the difference here then? Being different is okay. Because of those differences, being divided is not okay. So when we divide just because I don't like her style, I'm going to start my own. That's where the problem happens. So what should we do? Yes, differences you can have, but division you cannot. And they do not become divided until after knowledge had come to them and out of jealous animosity. Why do they divide it? Because you know what? These people didn't even include me in their mashwara and they made the decision without me. I am jealous. I don't want to be with them. Or maybe they're going too far ahead. They're so successful and everybody's listening to their decision and giving them importance and they're ignoring me even though I am also part of this organization and they don't even consult me. This is where the jealousy is and the animosity comes. You know, in my organization, these three people are always together. I feel excluded. I feel left out. I'm not going to work with them. I'm just going to start my own chapter. And then people come up with all kinds of justification to divide. This is not the way Islam teaches us. Islam teaches us, yes, you can have differences. Sahaba used to have a lot of differences. Umar radiallahu anhu would give some other advice and Usman radiallahu anhu would give some another advice and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq would give some another advice and it was not easy. Everybody had a different opinion. This is why a good leader takes the advices and make the decision and move on. And if not for a word that proceeded from your Lord postponing the penalty until a specified time, it would have been concluded between them. And indeed, those who were granted inheritance of the scripture after them are concerning it in disappointing doubt. Why does Matthew is saying that inheritance of the scripture? Because knowledge is inherited, and knowledge is something that you have to seek in as an inheritance. So, to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, invite O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and remain on the right course. This ayah is very important. What is it? That to the right religion, invite. What should we do? If Islam is a right religion, if you and I think it's a right religion, then we should invite. And remain on a right course, meaning you yourself have to remain on a right course. And remain on a right course as you are recommended, and do not follow their inclination, but say, I have believed in what Allah revealed of the scripture, meaning what is written in Quran, we are going to go by that. No matter what ulama says, no matter what other people say, they can give consultation, but if Allah's word is found over that, we have to go by that. And I have been commanded to do justice among you. These are the qualities of the good leaders. This is the way the establishment of the Muslim state can happen. Working together, following the Quran, take everything to the Quran, and establishment of the deen, and reveal whatever Quran says, follow that, and do justice. Do you know that the countries that are prosperous, it has nothing to do with their iman, whether they have faith or not, it doesn't matter. What matters is justice. If they are just, they will survive and thrive and prosper. The minute justice goes down, the country goes under. This is where we see the rise and downfall of the Ummah. Allah is over our Lord and your Lord. For us are our deeds and for you your deeds. There is no need for argument between us and you. Notice here. This is how you resolve the problems. Don't argue over things which you find the evidence of in Quran and Sunnah. That's it. That's enough for us to obey whether we disagree with it or not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring us together, and to Him is the final destination. And those who argue concerning Allah after He has been responded to, their argument is invalid with their Lord, and upon them is His wrath, and for them is a severe punishment. It is Allah who has sent down the book in truth, and also the balance, that is justice. Wal mizan. What do we learn? If we find our life going one direction and not really doing the work the way it's supposed to be done, so we need to understand there must be something that is not balanced in our life. Whether it's too much of this thing and too much of that thing. You know what happens? When people are doing something, they to incline towards what their desire says, what their heart says. Since I like the things to be this way, I'm going to do it that way. You know, there's a graphic design in our family. When she designs the stuff and she submits it to the people who actually hire her for the job, she says, when I submit a design, you know what they say? They say, yeah, but I don't like this color, and I don't like this style, and I don't like this. So if the designer is designing it for you, leave it to the specialist. They know better from the designing perspective. You get to decide something else that is more important. You take care of the finances and other issues of the organization. Why you have to step in other people's territory? This is also one of the big problems people get divided into, because everybody likes to do things in their own way. And there is no way that everybody can think on the same page. So it's important that people understand this part. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, it is who has sent this book down in truth and also in balance. And what will make you perceive? Perhaps the hour is near. Those who do not believe in it are impatient for it. But those who believe are fearful of it and know that it is the truth unquestionably. That was dispute concerning the hour are in extreme error. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is subtle. Allahu latifum bi'ibadihi yarzuqu man yasha'. This latif, this attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is amazing. You know why? Because a latif is the one who does things so subtly that you cannot even feel it. Latif is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had so much latafat in him that when he does something and you say, have you ever wondered, you know, sometimes it happens, I don't know, I wasn't even planning to, but things happen this way. You know how? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a latif. He did things without you knowing it, without you realizing it. He gives provision to whom he wills, and he is the powerful, the exalted in might. So what do we learn in this paragraph? Solve dispute through the Quran. Rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no example for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Laysa kamislihi. Laysa kamislihi shay'in means not any example by like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but there is no example like example of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know what I mean? There is not even an example that is close to example to describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And leave matters in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the matter of Qiyamah is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Narrated Anas bin Malik, a man asked Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when will the hour be established, O Allah's messenger? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what have you prepared for it? The man said, I haven't prepared for it much of prayers or fast or alms, but I love Allah in His path still. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you will be with those whom you love. Bukhari 6171. What do we learn from this hadith? Qiyamah is coming. Some people spend so much time just finding out what are the major signs, what are the minor signs. Alhamdulillah, you can do that. But what is the preparation? That's what matters, right? What is in our bag? That's what matters. When you go for shopping, what kind of stuff you put in your shopping cart, that's what matters. Not that what the store carries. Store can carry all the stuff and all the brands. But what goes in your cart is something that is going to benefit you, because that's the thing that you're going to take home. Similarly, what goes in your body in the form of good deeds, that's what matters. It doesn't matter what dunya is doing. It doesn't matter what the signs are. If you are actually worrying about your shopping cart, that's what matters. And this is what we learn from this hadith. Next paragraph, we learn ayah number 20 to 29. Which farmland do we want? Whoever desires, man kana yuridu harsal akhirati nazid lahu fil harsihi. Whoever desires the harvest of the hereafter, we increase for him in his harvest. Meaning, whoever has the akhira as their main focal point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the facilitate for them in that way. We increase for him in his harvest, meaning his rewards. And whoever desires the harvest that is benefits of this world, we give him thereof, but there is not for him in the hereafter any share. This ayah is something to ponder upon, because we take things very lightly sometimes and we don't realize it. That is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying something, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, what have you planned? What are you doing? And what exactly do you want? Or have they partnered, that is, other deities which who have ordained for them a religion to which Allah has not consented? But if not for the decisive word, it would have been concluded between them. And indeed, the wrongdoers will have a painful punishment. You will see the wrongdoers fearful of what they earn, and it will certainly befall them. And those who have believed and done righteous deeds will be in the lush regions of the gardens in the paradise, having whatever they will be in the presence of their Lord. Notice, in presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is what the great bounty, and this is Fadlun Kabir. In this dunya, we can ask the Fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the Fadlun Kabir, the greatest Fadl of Allah, the greatest bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being in the company of Allah and in the heavens, inshallah. It is that of which Allah gives good tidings to His servants who believe and do righteous deeds. Say, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I do not ask you for it, that is this message, any payment, but only goodwill true, that is due to kinship. And whoever implements a good deed, we will increase for him good therein. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and appreciative. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafoor and shakur. Shakur is the one who appreciates anything and everything his slave does for him. Even if it's the tiniest effort, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't make it go to waste. Or do they say he has invented about Allah a lie? But if Allah will, he could seal over your heart, and Allah eliminates falsehood and establishes the truth by his words. Indeed, he is knowing of that within your breasts, and it is he who accepts repentance from his servants and pardons misdeeds. In this dunya, we can hide anything and everything, but Allah knows what we do. So might as well ask repentance now while we're alive. And He answers the supplications of those. وَيَسْتَجِيبُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَيَزِيدُهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَالْكَافِرُونَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ. Notice here, Allah SWT is saying, the one who, He answers the supplication of those who have believed and done righteous deeds, and increases for them from His bounty. Meaning, when we do deeds according to Quran and Sunnah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases fadl, His bounty upon the people. Oh Allah, make us among those. And if Allah had extended excessively provisions for His servants, they would have committed tyranny throughout the earth. But He sends it down in an amount which He wills. Indeed, He is of His servants, aware and seeing. In ayah number 27, we're learning, what if, you know, people always say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me more people, give me more money. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you less because He knows once you are given a lot, you may go astray. Once you're given a lot, you may forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So be happy on the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows how much can you handle, because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give a lot, people will go astray. This is how it is, period. Ayah number 28, and it is He who sends down the rain after they had despaired and spreads His mercy, and He is the protector, the praiseworthy, and of His signs is the creation of the heavens and the earth, what He has dispersed throughout them of creatures, and He, for gathering them when He wills, is competent. Meaning, it is super easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather everybody together in one place. In this dunya, somebody asked this non-Muslim person, how long would it take for you to gather people and make them do something in one convention? Let's say convention had 5,000 people or maybe 10,000 people. If you want them to assemble them to do something one way, how long is it going to take? The person said, oh, it's going to take me 5 hours or something to make everything organized, to pass the order and let the people do it and this and that. And then, you know what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, it's easy for Him to gather everybody in one place in a sense, because this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what do we learn in this paragraph? Grow your deeds and reap it in Akhirah. This is the mindset we can have. This is the gem you can write for yourself. And Allah sees everything. Whether we can hide away and get away, Allah knows it. And if Allah would give equal risk, there will be a lot of problem. This world would not run properly. You need people who can do all kinds of jobs. If everybody is a king, who's going to be the kingsman? If everybody is a soldier, who's going to be the king? If everybody is the president of the country, who's going to be the followers? Right? Think about it. Allah knows when to give and how much to give. And time is now. One time opportunity. There is no U-turn. There is no detour. And hold on to the deen in every situation, not in times of need only. And deen is determination, and determination is deen. They both go hands in hands. Think of yourself as seed that is protecting the future of Islam. Because if we don't follow Islam, do you think our generations will have it? Have you ever heard this question people talking about? You know, my parents were more pious, and their grandparents, my grandparents were used to be very, grandmother was so pious. She used to stay home, she used to do this, and she used to do long sujood. And then my parents were much pious, more pious than me, and I am busy. And look at my kids. this is what happens. So this is why it's very important that we grow our deeds now so we can reap it in Akhirah even after we leave from this world. The next paragraph is ayah number 30-43. Lead with the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given all the laws. We just have to follow them, and this is how we can become the leaders of the ummah. Ayah number 30. And whatever strikes you of disaster, it is for what your hands have earned. But he pardons much. Meaning, notice here, very important ayah. وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. People say, why problems are coming to me? Problems are coming because they are meant to become to you. This word musiba comes from something that hits the target. Meaning, musiba doesn't come by mistake. It's not like the angels made mistake. Oh, this problem, this heart is supposed to go to this person, and they forgot and they gave it to some other person. No, musiba is like a target. You know, when you see the target, when you hit the target, it is the right mark. This is what the musiba is. Musiba comes to hit the target the way it's supposed to be hit and where it's supposed to be hit. You know why? Because musiba comes because of you, your own sins. And this is what we learn. Your own hands earn this musiba to you. And you will not cause failure to Allah upon the earth, and you have not besides Allah any protector or helper. And of his signs are the ships in the sea, like mountains. If he will, he could still the wind, and they would remain motionless on its surface. Indeed, in that are signs for everyone patient and grateful. Allah, make us from sabar and shakur. What's a sabar? Sabar is a superlative degree of sabir, right? Sabr. Meaning, the one who is sabar, who is extremely patient. And shakur, the one who is extremely grateful. May Allah make us and give us these two qualities. And, or he could destroy them for what they earn, but he pardons much. This is Allah. Even though Allah can destroy anybody in a sinch, but he doesn't, because he loves to forgive. And the dua of the night of power is, Allahumma innaka afuwan tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. Allah loves to overlook, and he overlooks, and he pardons. And that is so, those who dispute concerning our signs may know that for them there is no place to escape. And so whatever things you have been given, it is but for enjoyment of the worldly life. But what is with Allah is better and more lasting for those who have believed and upon their Lord rely, and those who avoid the major sins and immoralities, and when they are angry, they forgive. Highlight this ayah for yourself. You know why? Because in this ayah, it's a solution for all the problems that people have. People would not differ. People would not divide. You know why? Because if they differ, they keep the anger themselves, but they don't divide. You know why? Because they learn how to forgive. They forgive whom you yaghfirun. Now, when forgiveness ayah comes over and over, and we say that people should be forgiving each other, people start thinking, should we forgive everybody? Even that person who took over my house? Even that person who actually divorced me for no good reason, even that person who, my mother-in-law, who was very tough on me, and she really was cruel to me, should I forgive her too? People ask these questions. Think about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, forgive any and all. You know, in Islam, you can take revenge. You can take revenge, but it is better for you to let it go, forgive. This let go nature is where the unity relies. When people don't let go, things go worse. When people don't let go, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them more suffering. And if you and I want to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we must have this forgiving and letting go attitude. Because it is much easier to take revenge and get upset and cry over it and make yourself sad and depressed and anxiety takes over. It is much more harder to forgive, but it is much more better for us to forgive and let go. And those who have responded to their Lord and established prayer, and whose affair is determined by consultation among themselves and from what we have provided them, they stand. Notice here, ayah number 38, this is the theme ayah. Here we learn about the وَمْرُؤْهُمْ شُورَ بَيْنَهُمْ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Meaning, first you have to let them go. First, you have to pardon people. And then after pardoning, don't just leave them alone. Include them. Bring them back. Like, for example, if there's some kind of issue was going on in some organization and people are different, people had differences of opinion. Now, people became very angry and they didn't hold their anger down. And then the voice was raised and the people got really hurt with each other and they left the place. What do you think is going to happen? It's going to hurt really badly to that organization. So what should you do? First, keep the differences aside. Come back, forgive each other. Let's start a clean, fresh slate, and let's include in again those people in consultation. Don't just say, no, you were rude to me last time, you differentiated with me, and you were calling me names, and you were angry. I'm not going to include you in my consultation. This IR is actually a real solution for all the problems that we face today in massages and everywhere else. Consultation, forgiveness, these two are the keys to success. And if you and I want to be a good Thai, then these qualities must be put on ourselves, inshallah. So what else we learn here? Consultation among themselves. And from what we have provided them, they spend. And this is the third is a quality the person should have when you want to work for something good. And those who, when tyranny strikes them, they retaliate in a just manner, meaning they do it in a proper way, not in a way that they go overboard and aggressive, because people get aggressive. People take matters in their hand and they go overboard. They actually make torture to the people more than what they deserve. And the retribution of an evil act is an evil one like it. Meaning, yes, you can take retribution, but evil, 1% equals to be 1%. Not they did it 10% and you're doing it 20% to them. No. But whoever pardons, notice here, whoever pardons and afa and aslaha, two things. Whoever pardons and make reconciliation, his reward is due from Allah. Question. Do we want reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or do we not? Because this is the question we need to ask. And indeed, he does not like wrongdoing people. And whoever retaliates after having been wronged, those have not upon them any cause for blame. The cause is only against the ones who wrong the people and tyrannize upon the earth without right. Those will have a painful punishment. Out of anger, what people do is, after taking the retribution one time, they don't forgive. They still, next time they see the same person and they bring the same topic again. And they meet the person 2 years later and they bring the same topic again. Let go. It was over. Move on. And whoever is patient and forgives, notice here, so many times the eye of forgiveness. And we still say that we don't want to forgive. And forgive, indeed, that is of the matters worthy of resolve. Meaning, ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ It is not easy, but it is something liked by. It is something that can unite the ummah together. Today, if we as an ummah become united, then the world cannot do anything to us. The Muslims will not suffer. Let's make dua this Ramadan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite the hearts of the believers. And what do we learn in this lesson? Hardship reaches you as a bullet reaches its target. It doesn't miss you. It requires courage to forgive. Yes, it does, but this is what it is. And hardship removes sins. So when hardship comes, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking care of your sins. Even we learn from Hadith, the meaning of which is even a thorn pricks to a believer, it takes away, it washes away sins. And we learn from this Hadith that narrated Abu Sa'd al-Khudri, Abu Huraira said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no fatigue, nor disease, nor sorrow, nor sadness, nor hurt, nor distress befall upon a Muslim, even if it were the prick of he receives from a thorn, but that Allah expiates some of his for that sin. What do we understand? This gives you so much comfort. People can do whatever they want, and people can make you hurt the way they want to, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Allah expiates your sins because of that. In the next slide, we learn some of the hadith. Musnad Ahmad 7001, we learn, be merciful to others and you will receive mercy. Forgive others and Allah will forgive you. this hadith should be enough for us to forgive people. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not indecent. He was not obscene. He would not shout in the market, and he would not respond to an evil deed with an evil deed, but rather he would pardon and overlook. This is in Tirmidhi 2016. O Uqba, reconcile whoever cuts you off. This is Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling, whoever cuts you off, you go and reconcile with them. Give to whoever deprives you, meaning give to not those who are good to you. It is easy to give to them, right? When they're good to you, you're good to them. They give you $100 gift, you give $120 gifts to them. But it is not easy when they are stingy and they are backbiting and they're doing all kinds of stuff and you still go give. And pardon whoever wrongs you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say here, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not saying in this hadith that you can only pardon whoever is good to you. No, pardon whoever wrongs you. This is in Musnad Ahmad 16999. Another hadith, Adab al-Mufrad 366, whoever does not show mercy will not receive mercy. Can we repeat this word again? Whoever does not show mercy will not receive mercy. Whoever does not forgive others will not be forgiven. Whoever does not pardon others will not be pardoned. Whoever does not protect others will not be protected. How strong these words are. May Allah truly open up our heart and forgive others. I'll give you 5 seconds pause. Take the name of a person that has bothered you a lot. Just forgive that person for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of yourself, for the sake of your health, for the sake of your iman. In the next slide, we see the importance of mashwara, shura consultation, what it is. The key to grow successfully is to have well-educated people around you, include them in the consultation. And successful society is created with well-organized management system, meaning there has to be a strong leader and he's surrounded by good people who are very knowledgeable in that area which they were serving the deen for or the dunya for. And then everybody should be in a hierarchy system, where everybody should know where do they belong, what kind of job they're doing, and include them whatever mashwara is needed for that particular department that they work for, inshallah. And this is how we establish the Islamic State. And ayah number 44 to 53, in the next paragraph, we learn Allah decides for you. Ayah number 44, and he whom Allah sends stray, for him there is no protector beyond him. And you will see the wrongdoers when they see the punishment saying, is there for return to the former world anyway? Notice the question again. And you will see them being exposed to it, that is the fire, humbled from humiliation. May Allah make us humble in this dunya, take out the arrogance so we are safe from the hellfire. Looking from behind, a covered cleanse, and those who had believed will say, indeed, the true losers are the ones who lost themselves and their families on the day of resurrection. Unquestionably, the wrongdoers are in the enduring punishment, and there will not be for them any allies to aid them other than Allah. And whoever Allah sends stray, for him there is no way. So what do we learn here? Make Allah your wali, because Allah is the only one who is going to protect us here and there. Ayah number 47, respond to your Lord before a day comes of you of which there is no repelling from the decree of Allah, meaning time is of the essence. Respond to Allah now. No refuge will you have that day, nor for you will there be any denial. But if they turn away, then we have not sent you, O Prophet, over them as a guardian. Upon you is only the duty of notification. And indeed, when we let man taste mercy from us, he rejoices in it. But if evil afflicts him for what his hands have put forth, then indeed man is ungrateful. To Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. He creates what he wills. He gives to whom he wills female children, and he gives to whom he wills male. Ayah number 49, highlight for yourself. Today, people complain, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me girls only, or why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me boys only. It is a decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In some cultures, they actually kill girls, and they get aborted Why? Because they don't want girls and they want boys. And when the boys come, they may not serve them. It is the division that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made. We cannot say why this and why that. Lut alayhi salam only had girls. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had boys and girls both. And we learned from other people, they only had boys. It's okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you and I, we should be happy with that. Because this decision is Allah's, not ours. Or he makes them both males and females, and he renders from whom he was barren. Indeed, he is knowing and competent. You know, in our culture, sometimes people really make fun of the people and really bother them when the kids, they don't have any kids. They keep on asking questions. Any kids yet? Any good news yet? Who are you to ask? Maybe it's Allah's decision not to give them kids. When you ask these questions to people, so when are you sharing the good news? When are you expecting? No, because you don't know whether they're going to expect or not, whether they're going to have a child or not. Maybe it is Allah's decision. So be careful. Don't hurt people with your sentences like that. And when somebody has many girls, don't say, "Oh, who's going to take care of you in your old age? Your girls will be gone. Who are you? How do you know Allah SWT has planned something for them?" And when they have boys only, they say, "Oh, poor man, poor woman. She doesn't have a girl she can talk to and relate to and be friends with." You can make people feel bad like that. Because Allah said so, right? And it is not for any human being that Allah should speak to him except by revelation or from behind a partition, or that he sends a messenger, that is angel, to reveal by his permission what he wills. Indeed, he is of most high and merciful. In this ayah, we learn about the wahi. Wahi come from different way. Revelation has come to earth in different ways to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There, the first way of revelation is the true dreams. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to search true dreams. The second is the angels of revelations bring revelations to the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he was awake. And sometimes came with a sound like sound of a bell. That is the hardest one on me, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in Bukhari and Muslim, Fadail 87. So, and another way is Jibreel alayhi salam brought revelation to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disguised as a young man or as a human being. Or the angels bring revelation to the prophets without being seen. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would shiver, sweat, and feel disturbed in case of such revelation. It is stated in a hadith reported by Ibn Abbas that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had difficulty in memorizing those verses and that he moved his lips. God Almighty warned his prophet as follows regarding this issue, that move not the tongue concerning the Quran to make hasty therein. It is for us to collect it and for promulgate it. But when we have promulgated it, follow though its recital. And this is in Surah Qiyamah. And the angels appeared. This is the next way. The angels appeared as if he was and brought and read the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is in Bukhari, Tafsir 53. And the sixth way is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he was awake. And the seventh way is Jibreel alayhi salam brought revelation to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was asleep. So this was many different ways revelation came. And thus, we have revealed to you an inspiration of our command, that is the Quran. You did not know what is the book, what is the book, or what is faith, but we have made it a light by which we guide from whom we will of our servants. And indeed, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you guide the straight path. What do we learn in this ayah number 52? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who tell you, you did not know anything. For question to any of you, all of you, for those of you who are listening to this Quran for the first time, do you feel that you're finding out things that you didn't know that exist in Quran? Isn't that true? Type 1 if that's true. Because you know why? Because this is the case happens when the first time people learn Quran, they say, "Oh, I didn't know that Allah talks about this too. Allah talks about that too." There was a group of girls, when they learned the Quran first time, they were so surprised. They thought the only Quran they knew was reciting in Arabic. They had no idea that Quran has stories. It talks about youth. It talks about old. It talks about young. It talks about any and everybody. It touches all the subjects that we come across in this world. The path of Allah to whom belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. Unquestionably, to Allah belongs all the matters evolved. What do we learn in this section? Be mindful of what you do. Worry about people around you. It is Allah's decision who gets sons and daughters. Never complain. Allah creates human four ways. Don't feel bad about the losses. Be grateful and seek aid. What do I mean by Allah created human four ways? Meaning, Adam alayhi salam was created from nothing. No father, no mother. Then Hawa alayhi salam was created with her husband, meaning only one person. And then Isa alayhi salam was created by the mother only, meaning no father. And us, all of us, are created from father and mother, Adam and Hawa. So there are four ways Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this creation. Next is Surah Zukhruf, which is a beautiful surah. In ayah number 1 to 15, we learn about rides are gifts, meaning we'll learn about when we ride our cars. Back then it was camels and horses. These are something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has subjugated for all of us, and they're subdued to our command. They don't say anything. They run according to our what we control. Even our cars, they are in our control. Think of the hunk of metal that is in our control, right? Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Hameem. By the clear book, indeed, we have made it an Arabic Quran that you might understand. And indeed, it is in the mother of the book, with us exalted and full of wisdom. Then should we turn the message away, disregarding you because you are transgressing people? And how many a prophet we sent among the former peoples, but there would not come to them a prophet except that they used to ridicule him. And we destroyed greater than them in striking power, and the example of the former people has proceeded. And if you should ask them who has created the heavens and the earth, they would surely say they were created by the exalted in might and knowing, the one who has made for you the earth a bed and made for you upon its road that you might be guided. And who sends down from the sky is measured amounts, and we revive thereby a dead land, that thus you will be brought forth. When we are learning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بِقَدَرٍ فَإِنْشَرْنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives blessing the way He's supposed to give. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is the right amount. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about giving the rain. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives too much rain, it is Allah's will. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't give any rain, there is a hikmah behind it. There is always a proper calculation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is working with. So we cannot complain, how come this they have this and we don't? And who created this species, all of them, and has made for you of ships and animals, those which you mount. What do we learn? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh, ships and animals and those you mount. This, those you mount, wal anami ma tarkabun, this is, back then it was al anam, meaning all the cattle, right? Horse and camels and stuff. But for now, this is our cars. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has says these things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that the time will come that people have cars and bullets and trains and all whatnot. That you may settle yourself upon their backs and then remember the favor of your Lord. Question, every time we go in a car from point A to point B, do we remember that these cars are blessings? These rides that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided to us, these are the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember the favor of your Lord when you have settled upon them and say, Subhanallazi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. This is the dua of travel. Every time you sit in a car or bus or whatever, recite this dua. This will keep you protected by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And indeed, we to our Lord will surely return. But they have attributed to him from his servants a portion. Indeed, man is clearly ungrateful. O Allah, don't make us among those who are ungrateful. O Allah, give us tawfiq to memorize the dua of traveling, and then we can say it. Teach this dua to your kids as well. And, or has he taken out of, So far we have learned in this lesson is that staying ignorant will not save you. People say, don't learn Quran or else you're going to have to do it. So not learning Quran is not going to save you either. Allah subdued these animals for us. And so for us, their cars and even the chauffeur, the driver, they're all subjugated to serve us, right? So, and this dua for travel, try to memorize it. Subhanallazi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. Make dua for straight path and be mindful of wastage. Let's go to the next paragraph, ayah number 16-25. Jewelry makes women beautiful. What have we learned in this ayah? In this paragraph, should we wear the jewelry or not? Ayah number 16. Or has he taken out of what has created daughters and chosen you for having sons? And when one of them is given good tidings of that which he attributes to the merciful, to the most merciful, in comparison that his daughters, his face become dark and he suppresses in grief. Meaning they don't want daughters for themselves and they feel bad that now they have a daughter come in. So Allah SWT is saying, أَوَمَنْ يُنَشَّوْ فِي الْحَيَّةِ وَهُوَ فِي الْخِصَامِ غَيْرُ مُنْبِينَ. So is one brought up in ornaments while being during conflict and evident, attributed to Allah, or one in ornaments? Who is the Allah SWT talking about here? The females. It is something really amazing that people today don't even consider these jewelry, these ornaments as something women should be doing, especially the latter generation that is here now. They don't think that jewelry is something pretty. You know why? Because this mindset has been given to the community, the society at large, the world at large, that be like a man. Go out in a workforce. You don't have to dress up. This jewelry stops you. This jewelry is not something for you. You should dress up like them. You should not wear the jewelry. And people, girls even say it today too. I don't like gold. Mom, don't give me gold. I'm not going to wear gold in my marriage. So moms are saying, no, I want to give you gold. And the girls are saying, no. Oh, it's going to be sitting in a counter. I'm going to have to give zakah. So I don't even need the gold. Forget about the gold for a side. Even artificial jewelry. The jewelry is something that actually beautifies women. They should be wearing it. This is why Allah SWT talks about jewelry of Jannah too. But today, this mindset, it's not right. If you remember when a few years back, the boys and the girls used to wear different clothes. A baby as a baby, the girl used to be in a dresses, pretty nice flowing dresses. And the boys used to be in a pant and a shirt or whatever. But today, boys and girls wear the same clothes. And it is the mother, they buy the same clothes. The store sells the same type, similar type of clothes. You know, the tights and the top. The girl's supposed to be dressing up in nice garment. The girl's supposed to be in a flowing clothes. And develop this love in them. It is okay if your girls like jewelry. Let them wear it. Let them fulfill their desire. Because there will be time when they become teenager. They're going to say, I like to wear ripped jeans. Because this is the style nowadays. And what jewelry? No, jewelry is for poor people. Or maybe people who do not have any education or they live in the villages. Today, the mindset has been changed. So we need to bring that mindset back that with the jewelry is something good we need to be wearing. And they describe the angels who are servants of the most merciful as females. Did they witness their creation? Their testimony will be recorded and they will be questioned. And they said, if the most merciful had willed, we would not have worshipped them. They have of that no knowledge. They are not just but misguided. Misjudging. Have we given them a book before it, meaning the Quran, to which they are adhering? Rather, they say, indeed, we found our fathers upon a religion, and we are in their footsteps rightly guided. And similarly, we did not send before you any warner into a city except that its affluent said, indeed, we found our fathers upon a religion, and we are in their footsteps following. Reason for people not coming to Islam, not coming to Quran, that they like to follow whatever their forefathers are doing. If any tradition that stays in your family that is not Islamic, try to avoid it. Because if we, after learning Quran, we don't change, then Allah SWT will catch us even more severe punishment. Each warner said, even if I brought you better guidance than the religion upon which you found your fathers, They said, indeed, we in that which you were sent are disbelievers. People outright deny because they are comfortable in what they do. Question. We can ask, what is it that makes us comfortable in what we do? Is it something right or wrong? And so we took retribution from them. Then we see how was the end of the deniers. What did we learn in this paragraph? Allah makes women delicate. They are beautiful. Evil happens because of the mashiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it mean? Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't will so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want people to do wrong. It is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to be lost. And deeds are done by free will. And leave any family traditions that are not from Islam. And deviation in the creed, in aqidah, produces deviated deen. So this is why it's important where stick to the core of the deen. Ayah number 26 to 35, we learn brick and mortar homes versus gold and silver home. Ayah number 26. And mention, O Prophet, when Ibrahim said to his father and his people, indeed, I am disassociated from that which you worship, except for he who created me, and indeed he will guide me. And he made it a word remaining among his descendants that they might return. Notice here, this Sayyidin came yesterday too. Ibrahim a.s. was chosen one. Ibrahim a.s. was focused one. You know why? Because he sought his guidance in every step of the way with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Listen for us. Every step of the way, if we seek guidance through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us stay in a guided path, inshallah. And however, I give enjoyment to these people of Makkah and their fathers until there came to them the truth and a clear messenger. But when the truth came to them, they said, this is magic. And indeed, we are concerning it disbelievers. And they said, why was this not sent down upon a great man from one of the two cities? Do they distribute the mercy of your Lord? Meaning, are they the one who's making decision? And it is we who have appointed among them their livelihood in the life of this world and have raised some of them above others in degree of rank that they may make use of one another for service. Notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it too. One is rich and one is poor so they can serve each other. But the mercy of your Lord is better than whatever they accumulate. And if it were not that the people would become one community of disbelievers, we would have need for those who disbelieve in the merciful for their houses, ceilings, and stairways of silver upon which to mount. Meaning, you know, it is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't make the houses of the disbelievers made of silver and gold. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would make their houses of silver and gold, then the disbelievers will be very hard test. Because they would say, lo, we are the one who are serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look at these non-believers. They don't even serve Allah. They don't have deen. And they get to live in this beautiful house. Today we see Muslim Ummah who's actually for the brick and mortar home. They're selling their iman. They get interest. They indulge themselves in haram source of income just so they can afford this brick and mortar home. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, these homes doesn't worth anything. Allah will give you houses of silver and gold and pearls and also a different precious stones in Jannah. And you know what? For them, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the worth of the gold and silver in this dunya is as if it is dust. Think about it. Do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala value gold and silver or we do? For Allah, gold and silver is just as invaluable as dust. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, since it is invaluable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he could have given these gold houses to disbelievers. But that would mean a great test for the believers. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't give them, not because it's worth it. And for their houses, doors of the silver and couches upon which to recline and gold ornament, but all that is not but the enjoyment of the worldly life. And the hereafter with your Lord is for the righteous. What did we learn? Leave pure deen after us, meaning not the mixed deen. Be very clear in your creed. And Allah can give whatever He wants to whomever He wants. It is Allah's mercy that Allah didn't give gold houses to the disbelievers. In the next paragraph, ayah number 46 to 56, soon they forget. Um, And when never will it benefit you that day when you have wronged, that you will you all are sharing in the punishment. Then will you make the deaf hear, O Prophet, or guide the blind, or he who is clear in clear error? And whether or not we take you away in death indeed upon them, or whether or not we show you that which we have promised them, indeed we are perfect in ability. So adhere to that which is revealed to you. Indeed, you are on a straight path. Just rest assured. This ayah, ayah number 43, to give us comfort, that Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is giving comfort. You are on a straight path. People don't listen. People don't obey. That's up to you. That's up to them. But you are on a straight path. So we have to make sure that we are firm and steadfast in our deen. It is the right deen, there is no doubt. And indeed, it is the remembrance for you and your people, and you are all are going to be questioned. And ask those we sent before you of messengers, have we made besides the most merciful deities to be worshipped? And certainly, did we send Musa with our signs to Pharaoh and his establishment? And he said, indeed, I am the messenger of the Lord of the worlds. But when he brought them our signs, at once they laughed at them. And we showed them not a sign, except that it was a greater than its sister. And we seized them with affliction, that perhaps they might return to faith. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends affliction, so people can come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they said, O Musa, O magician, they said to Musa, O magician, he has promised you, indeed, we will be guided. But when we removed from them the affliction, at once they broke their word. And Pharaoh called out among his people. He said, O my people, does not the kingdom of the Egypt belong to me, and these rivers flowing beneath me? Then do we not see? Look at the arrogance in his sentence. He's saying, I am everything. Or am I not better than this one, that is Musa, who is insignificant and hardly makes himself clear, meaning Musa doesn't even have the clear speech? Then why have there not been placed upon him bracelets of gold, or come with him the angels in conjunction? This is how people judge the successful people, whether they are rich or not. But in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't matter. So he bluffed his people, and they obeyed him. Indeed, they were themselves a people defiantly disobedient. And when they angered us, we took retribution from them and drowned them well. And we made them a precedent and an example for the latter people. So what do we learn in this paragraph? Make the offer yourself. Arrogance makes a person blind. Do not boast about all the things that you are given. Comparison destroys you. Never compare yourself with others. Don't be scared of people. Only be scared of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't let others down. Don't let them feel low that you have some and they don't have any. Ayah number 57 to 67, friendship based on taqwa. This is the friendship we need. And when the son of Mary was presented as an example, immediately your people laughed aloud. And they said, are you gods better, or is he? They did not present it, that is the comparison, except for mere argument. But in fact, they are people prone to dispute. He, that is Jesus, was not but a servant upon whom we bestowed favor, and we made him an example for the children of Israel. And if we would, we could have made, instead of your angels, succeeding one another on the earth. And indeed, he, meaning Isa alayhi salam, will be a sign for knowledge of the hour. So be in doubt, not be in doubt of it, and follow me. This is the straight path. Isa alayhi salam will come near the day of judgment. This is a sign we're talking about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about in this ayah. And never let shaitan avert you. Indeed, he is to you a clear enemy. And when Isa alayhi salam brought clear proofs, he said, I have come to you with wisdom, that is prophethood, and to make clear to you some of that over which you differ. So fear Allah and obey me. Indeed, Allah is my Lord and your Lord, so worship him. This is straight path. But the denominations from among them differed and separated. So woe to those who have wronged from the punishment of a painful day. What do we learn here? Change doesn't happen overnight. When Isa alayhi salam came, the immediate followers were good people. And the iman level goes low and low and low. And the denomination that comes after that even lower and after that even lower. Isn't that what we see? The iman of sahaba were much more stronger. Then after that, tabi'in, then tabi'in, then a'ima, and then all the followers. And today we see Muslims in large in number, but the iman level is nowhere near the sahabas. And ayah number 66, are they waiting except for that hour to come upon them suddenly, which they perceive not? And close friends that day, will be enemies to each other except for the righteous. What do we learn here? In this ayah, we learn that a friend is supposed to be someone who has taqwa, because they will be there for you. Because of them, you will be there. And Allah SWT says that friendship that lasts longer is taqwa. You and I will not be able to see in this dunya as possible. But if we have a friendship in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the taqwa we are together here, we don't know each other. We don't even know which countries do we live. We don't know what kind of status we have. We don't know what kind of car do you drive and I drive. We don't know that, right? So why are we together? Because this relationship is based on taqwa. And Allah SWT is saying the relationship that is based on taqwa is a long-lasting relationship. And they are the ones who are friends because of taqwa in this dunya. They are going to be together in Jannah as well. Let's make dua that this right this very moment that Allah SWT keep us united in Jannah together. So we get to see, oh, you know, in 2020, in such and such day, we were sitting together and learning the book of Allah SWT. And I cannot believe I get to see you now. How beautiful that would be, right? So what do we learn in this paragraph? Know your friends, what kind of caliber do they have? And fear Allah. Make long-lasting friends. Stay away from disputes. Make du'a. And learn lessons from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 68 to 89. Their requests. What are their requests? Ya ibadi la khawfun alayhim al-yawma wa la antum tahzanun. To whom Allah will say, O my servants, no fear will there be concerning you this day, nor will you grieve. You, O who believe in our verses and were Muslims. Notice here, believe and be Muslim too, meaning submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Enter paradise, you and your kinds delighted. Notice here, you and your kinds, meaning that deeds have to be there, not on based on blood type, but based on the righteousness, based on taqwa. Enter paradise, you and your kind delighted. Circulated among them will be plates and vessels of gold in this dunya. Who can afford gold plates? Nobody, even the richest of the richest king. I don't know if they can afford it or not. Maybe they can, but I don't know if they have it or not. And therein is whatever the soul desires and what delight the eyes, and you will abide there in eternity. And that is paradise, which you are made to inherit for what you used to do for you. Therein is much fruit from which you will eat. How beautiful it's going to be. In this dunya, people say, I don't like this fruit, or I do like it, but my stomach gets upset. This fruit doesn't suit my body. There will be no such thing like that. Indeed, the criminals will be in the punishment of hell, abiding eternally, now the opposite side. It will not be allowed to subside for them, and they therein are in despair, and we did not wrong them, but it was they who were the wrongdoers. And they will call, O Malik. Notice here, this Malik is the name of a gatekeeper of the Jahannam. Let your Lord put an end to us. Notice here, they're requesting, just end this suffering of ours. He will say, indeed, you will remain. Try to imagine, people will not be able to get out. I happened to visit some of the prison, and I asked one of the women there, so how long is your sentence? She said, lifetime. Another one said, 53 years. And she was already in her late 40s or 50s. That means they will die there and they will not come back. And this is dunya. And imagine the akhirah when they have to live permanently. This is something very, very serious. May Allah save us from this. Let's say, Allahumma ajinna minan nar. Say it now. Allahumma ajinna minan nar. And we have certainly brought you the truth, but most of you to the truth were averse. Or have they devised some affair, but indeed we were devising a plan? Or do they think that we hear not their secrets and their private conversations? Yes, we do. And our messengers, that is angels, are with them recording. All the private conversation is being recorded. Say, O Prophet, if the Most Merciful had a son, then I would be the first of his two worshippers. And exalted is the Lord of the heavens and the earth, Lord of the throne, above what they describe. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free of Subhana Rabbis Samawati wal Ardi Rabbil Arshil Amma Yasifun, free of whatever they say about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So learn, so leave them to converse vainly and amuse themselves until they meet their day which they are promised. And it is He, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the only deity in the heavens and on the earth, the only deity. The only deity, the only deity, and He is the wise, the knowing. And blessed is He to whom belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth, and whatever is in between them, and with whom is knowledge of the hour, and to whom you will be returned. And those they invoke besides Him do not possess power of intercession, but only those who testify to the truth they can benefit, and they know. And if you ask them who created them, they will surely say Allah. So how are they deluded? And Allah acknowledges His saying, O my Lord, indeed, these are people who do not believe. So turn aside from them and say peace. فَاسْفَحَ أَنْهُمْ وَقُلْ سَلَامٌ فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ. But they are going to know. Beautiful surah has just ended. Amazing surah. Now, in this surah, we learn about the complete package that will be given in Jannah, meaning the people who enter there, not just they will have the fun for the time being, but they will have this fun forever. They will stay in such beauty, such kindness, such nice environment forever. And there will be no grief in Jannah. And inheritance is given to those who deserve it, right? No, you don't pass on the inheritance of a person. When a person dies, who do you think who receives his estate? Person walking down the street or his own heirs, right? So who is his own heirs receive the inheritance of this dunya. The inheritance of Jannah is given to who? The one who deserves it, because it's not something to be given to everybody. Here, you take it too. Here, you take it too. You make dua that day, once in a lifetime, you can take it too. It doesn't work like that. People of Jahannam will wish to die, and the no death will come. There is only one death, and death of this dunya. And the Haqq, the Islam, the Quran is the only thing that can save us from Jahannam. May Allah keep us stay steadfast on this Quran. Let's listen to the recitation of the first few ayahs and then we'll continue.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. حميم والكتاب المبين إنا أنزلناه في ليلة مباركة إنا كنا منذرين.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حاميم والكتاب المبين. إنا أنزلناه في ليلة مباركة إنا كنا منذرين. سورة دخان, the smoke. This surah, this first second ayah and the third ayah is talking about the Laylatul Qadr. Some people have this misunderstanding that this ayah is talking about the night of that comes in Shaban. No, this ayah is talking about the Laylatul Qadr, and Laylatul Qadr has already started now, alhamdulillah. And Laylatul Qadr is a Mubarak, meaning the blessed night. And in that night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down angels, and all the du'as are accepted, and the reward is multiplied many fold. I'll discuss inshallah once we finish reading this paragraph. Ayah number 1 to 29, we learn about night of power and more. Therein, that is on the night, is made distinct every precise matter, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides, make decisions for what's going to happen for the upcoming year. All the decisions are made on this night. So make sure that we give some time and really make dua for our future. Make big, huge plans for yourself and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill them. Because this is the night all the decrees have been sent down and written down. People who's going to die, who's going to born, who's going to live, who's going to lose the job, who's going to get the job. All these things are written now. Every matter proceeding from us, indeed, we were to send a messenger as mercy from your Lord. Indeed, he is the hearing, the knowing, Lord of the heavens and the earth, and that in between them. If you would be certain, there is no deity except him. He gives life and causes death. He is your Lord and the Lord of the first forefathers. But they are in doubt, amusing themselves. They watch for the day when the sky will bring a visible smoke. Are they waiting for that day when the smoke is going to come? Covering the people, this is a painful torment. And they will say, our Lord, remove from us the torment. Indeed, we are believers. Notice here. They will say, Inna mu'minun, we are believers, to remove the torment. And how will there be from them a reminder at that time? And there had come to them a clear messenger. Then they turned away from him and said, he was taught and as a madman. Indeed, we will remove the torment for a little. Indeed, you disbelievers will return to disbelief the day we will strike with the greatest assaults. Indeed, we will take retribution. And we had already tried before them the people of the Pharaoh, and there came to them a noble messenger, that is Musa alayhi salam, saying, render to me the servants of Allah. Indeed, I am to you a trustworthy messenger. And saying, be not haughty with Allah. Indeed, I have come to you with clear evidence. And indeed, I have sought refuge in my Lord and your Lord, lest you stone me. Leave me alone. And finally, he called to his Lord that these were the criminal people. Allah said, Then set out with my servants by night. Indeed, you are to be pursued. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves the believers in any and all situations. And leave the sea in stillness. Indeed, they are an army to be drowned. The whole army was drowned all at once. Isn't that a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? From the same sea at the same time, believers were saved. And from the same sea at the same time, the whole huge army of Pharaoh were drowned. This is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how much they left behind of gardens and springs. Highlight this ayah. They were super rich. They were super power. They had all the beautiful houses and they had to leave behind. Who were taking care of these houses? Who became the inheritors of those places? And crops and noble sites and comfort wherein they were amused. They had to leave everything. Thus we caused to inherit it in other people. Who inherited all this? Other people, other than them, not them, right? And the heavens and the earth wept not for them, nor were they reprieved. This ayah number 29 is telling us, when a disbeliever, when a kafir, when a person who doesn't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dies, the earth actually doesn't miss it. But we learn from hadith, when a believer dies, a earth, wherever he lives, it cries. You know why? Because it says, now, this person, such and such, used to do sujood on me. And I don't have that person anymore. So be a believer. When we leave, even earth cries. Can we make it that intention right now? And you know, with that keeping in mind, whenever we go somewhere where there are only all non-Muslims, try to pray there, because that place will remember you that this person, such and such person, came and he did sujood and everybody else was doing all kinds of tyranny on me. So what did we learn in here? Laylatul Qadr is Mubarak night. Four things make this night powerful. What are they? Angels, meaning Ruhul Amin, come down on this night. This is the speciality of this night. And also Quran came down, number two. And Ibadah equals to 83 years and 4 months in this one night. And decisions are made for the whole year. Allah takes away blessings from ungrateful people, and on the land of praise cry for pious people. May Allah make us among those. If you go to the next slide, you will see that one night is better than 83 years, this one night of Laylatul Qadr. And 1 hour is better than 9.8 years. Can you imagine? If you just pray for 1 hour only, it is as if you're praying almost 10 years. And 1 minute of zikr, 1 minute of anything, is better than 58 days. Can you imagine? If you did 1 minute, for only 1 minute, you say Subhanallah, Subhanallah, or Allahumma inna kafoon, you are as if you're worshipping for 58 days. And 1 second only is better than 23 years. Now, after knowing this math, do you think we should be wasting this night in talking and eating and laughing out loud? Or should we be doing something? So the lesson here is that take advantage of every little second. Do istighfar, do azkar, do voluntary night prayers, do recitation, do du'as. And if the woman is actually menstruating, has her periods, she can sit in the musalla and she can still pray. She can still make du'a. She can still do the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't just assume, since I don't have to pray, so I can continue sleeping. No. Ayah number 30 to 42, in the name of excuses, what people do. And we certainly save the children of Israel from the humiliating torment from Pharaoh. Indeed, he was a haughty one among the transgressors. And we certainly chose them by knowledge over all the worlds. And we gave them of signs that in which they were a clear trial. Indeed. These disbelievers are saying, there is not but one first death and will not be resurrected. Then bring back our forefathers, and those before them. We destroyed them, for indeed they were criminals. We don't know much about Tawbah because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't really told us. This shows that our knowledge is very limited. And we did not create the heavens and the earth and that between them in play. Notice here. This is not something, a playground, big, huge playground, because this is how the people take this world. Think of this world. They think of this world as a big, huge playground. Today, you have to entertain yourself with this food. Tomorrow, you have to play that game. The day after, you have to watch this movie, and that's it. Allah SWT is saying, no, it is not a playground. It is a workplace where you have to work, and then you'll get your paycheck in the hereafter in the form of Jannah or Jahannam. We did not create them except in truth, but most of them do not know. Indeed, the day of judgment is the appointed time for them all, the day when no relation will avail a relation at all, nor will they be helped, except those believers on whom Allah has mercy. O Allah, have mercy upon us. Indeed, He is the exalted in might and the merciful. What do we learn here? In the name of all the things that they have in this dunya, they say, let's play, let's have fun. A man grows, his toys become expensive, but they don't go away. When a boy is a child, he plays with a toy car. When he's grow up, he plays with a real car. And when girls are little, they play with their toys. When they're grown up, they actually play with their household, home, by cooking and all these things. So nothing changes. People think that this world is not a place to work. Allah SWT is saying, this world is a place to work hard, and the day will come. So prepare for it now. Allah did not make this world for play only. Ayah number 43 to 59, what they will get, we'll see that, inshallah. Inna shajarati zakum, who are they? The people of Jahannam. Indeed, the tree of Zakum is food for the sinful. Like murky oil, it boils within bellies, like the boiling of scalding water. Next time when you boil water for your tea, look at that water. This is something that disbelievers will be taking, and the sinners. It will be commanded, seize him and drag him in the midst of the hellfire. Why midst of the hellfire? So he cannot escape. And the midst is always, the core is always much more hotter. and then pour over his head from the torment of the scalding water. It will be said, taste indeed. You are the honor, the noble. Indeed, this is what you used to dispute. Indeed, the righteous will be in secure place. O Allah, make us among those. Inna al-muttaqina fi maqamin amin. Can we make dua? O Allah, make us from Inna al-muttaqina fi maqamin amin. O Allah, save us from all the torments of the hellfire and make us the people of the Jannah. Within gardens and spring. يَلْبَسُونَ مِنْ سُنْدُسٍ وَإِسْتَبْرَقٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ Wearing garments of fine silk and brocade facing each other. You know, in this dunya, the silk that we have, it is made out of the spit of an insect, right? But the silk that will be in Jannah is not going to be coming from spit of an insect. It's going to be something really beautiful, which we cannot even imagine how beautiful it's going to be and how soft it's going to be. Start designing your clothing for there. Start choosing the colors that you like. Start putting the patterns on what you like. Start designing the flowing garment that we will be wearing. You know why? Because this is what it takes. Daydreaming of Jannah. So stay focused and do not get distracted from this world. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shares all these ayahs and descriptions. And thus, and we will marry them to fair women with large, beautiful eyes. They will call therein for every kind of food, safe and secure. They will not taste death therein, except the first death. And he will have protected them from the punishment of the hellfire, meaning they will not die. The package will not end. The complete package of Jannah, no ending there. No running out of money. Now you have to go back. As a bounty from your Lord, that is what the great attainment. فَضْلًا مِنْ رَبِّكَ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ And indeed, we have eased it, that is this Quran. So what did we learn from this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I have made this Quran easy in your tongue, that they might be reminded, meaning, for those of you who want to come to Quran, only then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. Or else Quran stays hard for the people who watch it from outside. They say, no, we're not going to take this class. It's too much. I'm going to get tired. I have to sit so long. I have to recite Quran only. And even in the month of Ramadan, sometimes people say, oh, I'll do this and I'll do that. When it comes to Quran, they're tired. So, watch, O Prophet, indeed they are watching for your end. What do we learn in here? We learn that plan your destination now, which is what is going to be. And the garment that we will be given in Jannah will be beautiful for the people of Jannah. And you only die once. Quran is made easy for those who want to seek advice. Surah Al-Jasiyah. Beautiful surah. Let's listen to the recitation of the first couple of ayahs and then we'll move on.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Hameen. تنزيل الكتاب من الله العزيز الحكيم. إن في السماوات والأرض لآيات للمؤمنين وفي خلقكم وما
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم حاميم تنزيل الكتاب من الله العزيز الحكيم The revelation of the book is from Allah The Exalted, the Might. Indeed, within the heavens and the earth are signs for the believers. O Allah, make us believe and see all the signs now. And in the creations of yourself and what He disperses of moving creatures are signs for people who are certain in faith. Notice here, Allah SWT is saying these are the signs for those who call me yuqinun, meaning they are so certain that they get to see this sign. So if people who are not certain about the death and the resurrection and the Allah SWT and the meeting day, they just live like a cow or cattle. They don't care what's going on. They think the way it is what it is. Have you ever heard this phrase? A lot of people say this. It is what it is. The way it is. We don't really care. May Allah truly give us the understanding of this. And in the alteration of the night and the day, in what Allah sends down from the sky of provision, that is rain, and gives life thereby to the earth after its lifelessness, and in His directing of the winds are signs for the people who reason. These are the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which we recite to you in truth. Then in what statement of after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His verses will they believe? Meaning, if these ayahs are not affecting the heart of the people now, then what else is going to affect? Is there anything else that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should send? This Quran is it. If this doesn't touch the heart, if we go through this Quran without even any feeling anything, then there is no way that we can get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this Quran is things that changes the heart. This Quran is gives you the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Woe to every sinful liar. Woe to every sinful liar. Who hears the verses of Allah recited to them, then persists arrogantly. And if he had not heard them, as if he had not heard them, so give him tidings of the painful punishment. When people listen to ayah and ignore and walk insolently, thinking, I don't really care. Isn't that what the attitude we see today? People listen to ayahs, alhamdulillah, in the month of Ramadan, a lot of people are doing recitation of the ayahs. But do they know what that they're reciting? Do they know that something is supposed to gain, they're supposed to gain something from this Quran? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, for them, it's painful punishment. And when he knows anything of our verses, he takes them in ridicule. Those will have a humiliating punishment. Before them is hell. And what they had earned will not avail them at all, nor what they had taken besides Allah as allies. And they will have a great punishment. Notice here, the previous ayah was Azabun Muheen. Humiliating punishment. In this ayah, Allah Ta'ala is saying Azabun Azim, meaning great punishment. And the next ayah, Allah Ta'ala says Rijzin Aleem, meaning foul punishment. All these different punishments depend on what kind of punishment do they deserve. And this Quran is guidance. Hada Huda. Can we feel this guidance? Are we getting guided right now, bi-idhnillah? هذا هدى والذين كفروا بآيات ربهم لهم عذاب من رجز أليم. This Quran is guidance, and those who have disbelieved in the verses of their Lord will have a painful punishment of foul nature. What do we learn from this? Quran is news from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's supposed to touch your heart. And you know, sometimes when people go through Quran, they don't feel any change. You know why? Because there is some kind of a preset mindset, and that is called arrogance. Do I have to believe in it? Do I have to follow it? Arrogance makes you ignore the message. When people don't take it seriously, Allah makes the hearts hard. So let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps our hearts always soft. Don't make fun of this Quran, or else it will never enter your heart. Narrated Abdullah bin Umar, Allah's apostle forbade the people to travel to a hostile country carrying copies of the Quran. This is in Bukhari 2990. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, preserve this Quran. Don't even take it there when people don't let you follow it. Like for example, in certain places they're burning Quran, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, this Quran is it. If it doesn't affect, what will? Is there anything else that can change people's hearts? Have you heard of anything that can really bring people? No, it is the Quran and the lessons of the Quran and the teachings of the Quran. Surah Jasiyah, the name of the Jasiyah is Neil, right? So inshallah, once we get to the ayah, we will learn about that. So ayah number 12 to 21. Desires or Sharia? Which one we need to take? Which one we need to follow? Ayah number 12. اللَّهُ الَّذِي سَخَّرَ لَكُمُ الْبَحْرَ لِتَجْرِي الْفُلْكِ فِيهِ بِأَمْرِهِ وَلِتَبْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. It is Allah who subjected to you the sea so that the ship may sail upon it by His command, and that you may seek of His bounty, and perhaps you will be grateful. And He has subjected to you whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth, all from Him. Indeed, in that are signs for a people who give thought. O Allah, make us though among those who give thought to this Quran. And لِقَوْمِ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Tell, O Prophet, those who have believed to forgive those who expect not the days of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is of His retribution, so that He may recompense the people for what they used to earn. Whoever does a good deed, it is for himself. And whoever does the evil, it is against it, that is the self or soul. Then to your Lord, you will be returned. So if we forgive, we are helping ourselves. And if we do evil, we are hurting ourselves. And we did certainly give you, children of Israel, the scripture and judgment and prophethood. And we provide them with good tidings and preferred them over the world. And we gave them clear proofs of the matter of religion, and they did not differ except of jealous animosity between themselves. Indeed, your Lord will judge between them on the day of resurrection concerning that over which they used to differ. Then we put you, O Prophet, on an ordained way concerning the matter of religion, so follow it. Notice here. فَاتَّبِعْهَا meaning وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. What do we learn in this ayah number 18? We put you, O Prophet, or an ordained way concerning the matter of religion, so follow it and do not follow the inclination of those who do not know. Meaning, those who do not know, they follow what? They follow their ahwa, their hawa, their desires. They don't follow the Quran and Sunnah. So here we can choose, should we follow the desires or should we follow the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 19. Indeed, they will never avail you against Allah at all. And indeed, the wrongdoers are allies of one another, but Allah is the protector of the righteous. See? Wallahu waliyul muttaqeen. Allah is our wali. This is the third time we're learning this. This Quran is enlightenment for mankind and guidance and mercy for people who are certain in faith. What do we learn here? Determinants, certainty, yaqeen. This is what we need in order to preserve our deen, inshallah. Or do those who commit evil think we will make them like those who have believed and done righteous deed, make them equal in their life and their death? Evil is that which they judge, meaning it is just assumptions people have. So what do we learn in this paragraph? Allah manages affairs of pious people. He takes care of it. When Allah becomes your wali, He takes care of everything. Things happen in such a way that you're just amazed. You are in wow. You're just in awe. How does it happen? Allah made this world for us. So we should enjoy and be grateful and stay within the limits. Deen is made of four elements. Number one, to stay away from forbidden. Number two, follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, what is haram, stay away from it. Haram is haram. You cannot make anything or add anything. And number four, halal. What is halal is halal. And haq is bigger than us, meaning much, much bigger. So we need to follow it. Don't be fearless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the fearlessness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that people go astray. Ayah number 22 to 26, actions are the mirror of ilm. Meaning, whatever knowledge you have, you are. The iman is in the heart and the manifestation of your actions shows what kind of iman do you have. So if we want to check ourselves, we can learn these ayahs. Ayah number 22. وَخَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِالْحَقِّ لِتُجَزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. And Allah created the heavens and earth in truth, and so that every soul may be recompensed for what it has earned, and they will not be wronged. Have you seen he who has taken as his God his own desire? Notice here, his God as his own desire. And Allah has sent him straight due to knowledge and has set a seal upon his hearing and his heart and put over his vision a veil. So who will guide him after Allah? Is there anybody else who can guide that person? Then will you not be reminded? أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. See, you have to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting all of us to become a thinker. And they say, there is not but our worldly life. We die and live, and nothing destroys us except time. And they have of that no knowledge. They are only assuming. And this I have learned about time. Time is something that is Allah SWT himself. We should not be cursing time. We should not be saying bad or evil about the time, because time is Allah SWT. Have you ever heard this sentence? People say, you know, the timing, time is bad nowadays. You cannot say that. You have to change this sentence. And when our verses are recited to them as clear evidence, their argument is only that they bring back our fathers. If you should be truthful, say, Allah causes you to live, then causes you to die, then He will assemble you for the day of resurrection, about which there is no doubt, but most of the people do not know. What do we learn in this paragraph? The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Bukhari 4549. Remember the gathering of the day is not the hadith. Sorry. Abu Huraira reported, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah Almighty said, the son of Adam abuses me. Why did Allah SWT say that? He curses time, and I am time. For in my hand are the night and the day. So from now on, inshallah, be careful what we say about time. Ayah number 23 to 37, kneel down. This is where the name Jasiya comes in. وَتَرَى كُلَّ أُمَّةٍ جَاسِيَةً. And you will see every nation kneeling from fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what do we learn in here? Let's see. Ayah number 27. وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ يَوْمَ إِذٍ يَخْسَرُ الْمُبْطِلُونَ. And to Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth, and the day, the hour appears. That day the falsifiers will lose. And you will see every nation kneeling. وَتَرَى كُلَّ أُمَّةٍ جَاسِيَةٍ. Why? And you will see every nation kneeling from fear. Every nation will be called to its record and told, today you will be recompensed for what you used to do. This, our record, speak about you in truth. Indeed, we were having transcribed whatever you used to do. So as for those who believe and did righteous deeds, their Lord will admit them into mercy. That is what in the clear attainment. But as for those who disbelieve, it will be said, were not our verses recited to you, but you were arrogant and became a criminal people. And when it was said, indeed, the promise of Allah is truth and the hour is coming, no doubt about it, you said, we know not what is the hour, meaning they play dumb. We assume only assumption, meaning they just assume out of ignorance. And we were not convinced, meaning when people are not convinced, obviously they're not going to get it. So make dua that Allah SWT really truly open up the heart of us and our people, our generation, and the people around us for the deen. And the evil consequences of what they did will appear to them, and they will be enveloped by what they used to ridicule, meaning surrounded by it. And it will be said, today we will forget you, as you forgot the meeting of this day of yours. And your refuge is in the fire, and for you there is no helper. You know what? And when we put the appointments time in our Google calendar, right? We all have the apps on our phones where we put our appointment. Friday is a doctor's appointment. Sunday is a teacher's appointment. Monday is full. So maybe we should do this. It would be a good idea if you can do that. On our cell phone, the homepage, we can have the appointment, meeting with Allah, time and day to be announced. But if the appointment is there. That is because you took the verses of Allah in ridicule, and worldly life deluded you. So that day, they will not be removed from it, nor will they be asked to appease. Then to Allah belongs all praise, Lord of the heavens and Lord of the earth, Lord of the worlds. And to him belongs all grandeur within the heavens and the earth, and he is the exalted in might and wise. What do we learn here? Our actions prove our beliefs in Akhirah. Narrated Abu Huraira, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Paradise and the fire hell argued, and the fire hell said, the fire meaning the hell said, I have been given the privilege of receiving the arrogant and the tyrants. Paradise said, what is the matter with me? Why do only the weak and the humble one among the people enter me? On that, Allah said to Paradise, you are my mercy, see, which I bestow on whoever I wish of my servants. Then Allah said to the hellfire, you are my means of punishment by which I punish whoever I wish of my slaves, and each of you will have its fill. As for the fire, it will not be filled till Allah puts his foot over it, whereupon it will say, Qati, Qati, and at the time it will be filled, and its different parts will come closer to each other, and Allah will not wrong any of his created beings. As regards Paradise, Allah will create a new creation to fill with it. This is in Bukhari 48:50. In the next slide, the dua that we learn in the morning, let's recite it again together so we can memorize it. Allahumma inni as'aluka khayra ma aati wa khayra ma af'al wa khayra ma a'mal wa khayra ma batal wa khayra ma dhahar wa ad-darajati al-'ala min al-jannati amin. O Allah, indeed, I ask you of the onset of the goodness and its completion in goodness, its foremost and its last, its apparent and its hidden. I ask you for the highest level of paradise. It seems like this dua is very suitable because now the last slide, you have a take-home message. And what is that? I want you to picture yourself as forward thinker. Fast-paced, well-organized, and well-planned individual. Do you know why? Because this is what it takes to move forward. With that, inshallah, we'll end our today's session. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khairan kathira wa ahsan jaza, Sister Faiza. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. As usual, beautiful just completed. Subhanallah. Tawfiqallah. We learn about the night of power, and it will help us to decide how we want to spend these last 10 days of Ramadan, inshallah wa ta'ala. So are you getting the feeling of that it's time to part? SubhanAllah. You know, when a best friend of ours visit and then she is about to leave, then the feeling of sadness overcome and you don't want to be, her to part. That's the feeling I'm having with every single juz being completed. Allahu Akbar. Although the feelings of gratitude that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored us with the learning his book, and alhamdulillah, with his immense blessings, we are able to continue it steadily. Alhamdulillah. So yes, little sadness, but mostly the happiness for establishing the connection with our Lord. And a heartfelt dua that Ya Allah, honor us this connection even after Ramadan. And inshallah wa ta'ala, in the form of road to Jannah, biznillah. Has anybody signed it yet for the course? Edwin, is the text open? Could you please check? Alhamdulillah, step one done. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. You can, you don't have to type it privately, sister. It's just for everyone. You just do the, in the general text, please. Alhamdulillah. Anyone else? Admin, could you please unmute?
Oh. ni kilo se le tun yen ko em tale mi ni ma ti lo ra n work book ko mama ko an go be ki what was the thing ni kon twa ta ti wa kon ti wa ofu despelu math kon twa ti wa ofu despelu english
It is when you click it down and it say everyone in the meeting, then it you will be able to inshallah with Allah. Anyone else who has signed up the course yet? Only coordinators. Sister Samina, could you please unmute the text? Yes, sister, your mic is open. I want you to please. Sister Usma, your mic is open. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Planning to sign up, inshallah.
Inshallah, inshallah. Wait, did you complete the first step?
No.
No, not yet.
I discussed, waiting for the answer.
Inshallah ta'ala. And any point you want to share which you will ponder after leaving this session? Any dua it was so overwhelming that you want to do in these last 10 days? Inshallah ta'ala. Then night, Samin. You haven't thought of it yet?
A lot of duas.
Yes, alhamdulillah. I know. I do understand that it is so overwhelming when you have so much to ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you see so many things you want to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is pinpointing anyone is kind of it's hard. I do understand that.
Alhamdulillah. The main one. All are good. Mashallah, we should do, but the shirk one, which we do not know, that one I was thinking, I think that was in Ustaz's morning session.
That's why you can do the dua, which I do almost in every Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika wa ana a'lamu wa astaghfiruka
lima la a'lam. Yes, that one. So seek that dua,
inshallah. Then. Yes. Because this is the most important dua I can think of, because after maghfirat, with maghfirat, it's, if you end up committing shirk, even if the hidden one, then we are doomed. So inshallah wa ta'ala, we will go. Yeah. Jazakallah khair, sister. I'm telling people to see, and every small ones, like, should I go to the place?
Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Yes. And istikhara comes into picture in that respect too. You do istikhara for every thing we want to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes, inshallah. Yes. I try to do.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, sister. All the information will be provided, inshallah wa ta'ala. Right? We will... about the leading team, inshallah wa ta'ala, we will let you know. Any other question or any point you want to leave, you want to ponder on while leaving this session? Tell you, it's okay. It's been a long wait. Inshallah wa ta'ala, we'll conclude the class and we will do the dua, and that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us process the whole information, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let us absorb all the information and work on our shortcomings. Yes, sister, you will get it soon, inshallah wa ta'ala. Inshallah wa ta'ala. It's every admin is busy in Ramadan, Dora Quran and stuff. So it is kind of a hectic schedule. Yes, you will get it, inshallah wa ta'ala. Okay, inshallah wa ta'ala. Yes, just leave a message, please. اللهم أعني على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عني سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين آمين ثم آمين. If life and health permitted, we will meet inshallah ta'ala again tomorrow. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us in his hifz wa aman and in his afiyat and protect us from any and every shar and fitna there is. Ameen, summa ameen. Jazakumullah khairan kaseera wa ahsan jaza. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.